Thanks. I hope that you had a chance to read 2 Samuel 12 through 19. I really hope that you had a chance to read that, because I will not have time to cover everything that I should have covered last week when we covered all of that. I will not have time to talk about David and how he lost his child, and how that speaks to not only the death of a child in your life, if you have suffered that, or for women who have suffered abortion, and how this shows us that I believe that there's a special place for children who die prematurely, and also forgiveness and reconciliation with God, even in the face of our sins causing a death of a child. I don't have time to talk about Tamar and the sexual abuse that she suffered and the neglect from a father, and how this teaches us as the church how not to treat women who have suffered sexual abuse or others who have suffered sexual abuse. I don't have time to get into how the church is supposed to react to that. I don't have time to talk about the root of bitter revenge that Absalom had in his own heart when he had a righteous anger, but yet he carried it out, the vengeance of God on his behalf, and so it ended up being a murderous rebellion against the family. I don't have time to talk about David's failure, about how we as the older brother or sister in Christ ought to seek restoration to train up the future generations in how to be the hands and feet of Christ. I don't have time to talk about Joab and Nathan and the dichotomy between the two, and how Joab did not seek the Holy Spirit and instead sent somebody else, not God sent, and how we as the church often seek to be the Holy Spirit for others when instead maybe what we should do is just pray for wisdom. I don't have time to talk about Ziba and how he uses his friend's weakness to further his own agenda, and how so often that is the case even in the church walls. I don't have time to talk about Shimei and how he curses the king and would later reap a reckoning, and how that points to those who would scoff against the gospel and then later desire forgiveness on the bed of their death. I don't have time to talk about Absalom and Ahithophel and how fools who are going against God's word often seek wisdom in the folly of others. I don't have time to talk about Absalom, like us, cared more about his legacy rather than the kingdom legacy. And lastly, I surely do not have time this morning to talk about Absalom and how his pride became a snare for him, used in his own destruction. But if you found your way to 2 Samuel chapter 12 or chapter 15, in verse 21, I hope to have time to talk to you about if you follow out of condition or conviction. So I hope that you read 2 Samuel 12 through 19. If you didn't, I pray that you would, because there is so much there. I have not even come close to exhausting the depths and the riches of God's word. But if you're there in 2 Samuel 15, 21, you see that it says there, "But Attai answered the king, 'As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever the Lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will be your servant be.'" So I want to ask you the question, do you follow out of condition or conviction? I don't know about you, but I've heard the saying, I'm sure that you have too, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And while that is probably true, I think it's also true to say that when the going gets tough, the weak get going. Perhaps you don't know what it's called, but I know you've seen it on somebody's desk at some point, something called Newton's cradle. If you don't know what Newton's cradle is, what it is it's those five silver balls suspended by the wire, and when you pick up the outside ball and let it go, it knocks against all the rest, and the one on the other side then goes flying, and it gives this very rhythmic smack, 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 smack as they continue to go through. And the fact of the matter is that end ball left its cradle because the first ball was smacked. So I ask you again, do you follow out of condition or out of conviction? Because Jesus himself in Matthew 26, 31 said, "You shall all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I shall strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." You see, the fact of the matter is, this little guy, this man, Ittai the Gittite, who is mentioned twice here in Scripture, once here and once in chapter 18, follows out of conviction, not condition. Because the fact of the matter is that the condition that was in Israel right now was not one that was favorable to David. If you remember the story, and in chapter 15 itself, the first, I think it's, 8, 10 verses or something in that. You have a copy of God's Word. You can look for yourself. It talks about how Absalom is stealing the hearts of Israel. It talks about how he has lifted himself up. It talks about how Israel is now turning its back on David. And of course, we talked about the consequences of sin and how all of this was born out of Absalom feeling that justice was not being served. But the condition of the nation was something unfavorable. It may sound familiar to you this morning. And so I wonder, brother and sister in Christ, I wonder, oh, you who claims the name of Christ, if you are a follower out of condition or out of conviction. Let us examine God's word this morning, and before we do that, let us go to him in prayer. God, our Father in heaven, grant us that we might not take confidence in our own strengths, for we are so often led astray by our own various passions. We beg you that this day you would stir us anew to depend upon you alone. Cause us to constantly call upon you daily for renewed strength and conform us, we pray, into the image of your Christ, that we might persevere with you to the very end. Father, do not let our faith be one of shallow condition, but one of saving conviction. Let the faith that you stir in us be one that carries us even rejoicing through the valley of the shadow of death. We praise you for your victory in us through Christ our King, and it is in his name that we pray. Amen. So I want to talk about this section of text in 15:21. I want to talk about the good resolution that is there. Because this is a good resolution that Ittai has. If you look with me at 15:13 through 15, it says, "And a messenger came to David saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom.' Then David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword.'" 15, "And the king's servants said to the king, 'Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides.'" That's a good resolution. They are with their mouth now saying, "King, we are with you." As the enemy is very clear, as the attack has begun, these David's servants have a good resolution. They want to go with the king. They are at the king's disposal. Luke 10:38-42, and I want to focus with you on verse 42, but let me read before we get there. "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary." Perhaps you know this story if you've read your scriptures before and heard this parable, or this is not a parable, this is history, sorry, "who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" Here it is, verse 42. "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." You see, my friends, there are many a person who makes a good resolution. Perhaps it was you. I know in my own life I have seen, and I know in my own life at times I have faltered in this, but I have seen the outworking of a good resolution that lacks follow-through. In fact, if I'm honest with you, this is one of the fears I have for my own children. They are growing up in the household of a pastor. They are in church every Sunday. They go to the Wednesday kids programs. They go to Bible camp. They are homeschooled with a biblical curriculum. And yet none of that guarantees their salvation. I remember distinctly as I was a new Christian in my early 20s in college, that I was on college campus, and yes, I was one of those crazy salvation stories where once you're saved, you walk up to everybody in a room and you tell them the gospel, whether they want to hear it or not. And so I would be at college campus, and I would be handing out gospel tracts, and I would be talking to people, and I remember distinctly this young man, who I won't give his name, seemed like he made a confession of faith. And he wanted to start coming and learning about the Lord. And he wanted to do Bible studies together. And so we did all those things. And he came with us on a youth group. Well, I guess it was a college group retreat. And then I remember over time, he just slowly faded away. I began to see that he was at house parties again. I began to see that he was hanging out with the crowds that he turned his back on originally. And I felt the same pull. And so I knew what his deal was. I knew that he was choosing the passions of this world over the loving embrace of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a good resolution, but it lacked conviction. John 66 through 69, focusing on 68 here, let me read this to you. John 66 says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." Now, why would they say that? Now, this is the section. You can turn there. You can mark in your Bible if you want. Or perhaps, you know, this is the section where Jesus is explaining to them that unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they won't be saved. Now, here's the deal. In 2020, that still sounds crazy, okay? So not a lot has changed. And you have to remember, these people had been walking with Jesus. He has this large group of followers now. There are, by the way, in Scripture, I don't know if you knew this, there are 12 apostles, right? One of which is Judas, who will later betray him. But there are many disciples. Talks about many disciples. And it says here, many turned away. Because he's talking about eating their flesh and drinking their blood. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" What Jesus is asking them is, are you following out of condition or are you following out of conviction? Simon, Peter, who's a blockhead a lot of the times, right? Which is probably why his name is Peter, rock, because he's a rockhead. I can relate. Simon Peter gets it right here and he says to him, "Lord, where should we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." 69, he continues, and we believed, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter wasn't following out of condition. Peter was following out of conviction. Because if that's not conviction to follow somebody that tells you you have to involve yourself in cannibalism, I don't know what is. Now, of course, we know that that's not what Jesus was talking about there, and Scripture will flesh that out through the Lord's Supper and through symbolism and how we understand that. But in 2 Samuel 15:21, Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives, and as my Lord the King lives, whether my Lord the King shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." So Ittai, and I hope for you, have a good resolution to follow the King. However, a good resolution is not enough. We must also understand the cost. And so that is why we also must have great deliberation. So first of all, we must have good resolution. Secondly, a great deliberation. We must understand the cost. 2 Samuel 15:17-18, says this, "And the king went out, and all the people after him, and they halted at the last house. As they were leaving Jerusalem, on the outskirts of the city, they stop at this last house. And all his servants passed by him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites and the 600 Gittites who had followed him from Gath passed on before the king." Verse 19 and 20. "Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, 'Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. You came only yesterday.'" He's a new convert, right? "So you came only yesterday," he says. "And shall I today make you a wanderer with us since I go, I know not where?" David is telling him, "You really need to think about this, man. You're brand new here. Nobody knows you. You have a name neither good nor bad in this town. You're already an exile from your land, and now you want to come with me to wander in the wilderness? I don't even know where I'm going. Think about it." He says, "Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you." It sounds very similar to what our Lord and Savior has said to us, Matthew 8, 18 through 22. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. Verse 19, and a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus looks at him and says, Really? No, not really, but pretty much. Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. You see, the fact of the matter is, what Jesus is telling them is, Listen, man, to follow after me, you had better count the cost. Look with me forward at Luke 14, 26 through 28. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now pause there for a minute. Is Jesus the one who is the physical representation of God's love? God so loved the world that he gave. Is Jesus really advocating for us to hate our families? And the answer, of course, is no. But what he's saying is your following of me, your love for me, your love for Christ, ought to make it look as if you hate your family. I tell my kids, I love you, but I love your mother more. And the reason I love your mother more is because I love Christ. Elisa hopes that. I hope that my wife loves Christ more than me. Because if she does, that's the only way she's going to stick around, right? Now, she's got a leg up. I'd stick with her probably no matter what. But I'm glad that she loves Jesus more than me, or I would have no hope. But here's what it says in Luke. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? You see, good resolution is wonderful. In fact, there are myriad of reasons to be resolved to follow Christ. But the fact of the matter is, I think so often in churches all around America, we are presenting a gospel that says, have your best life now. I won't give any names. You can Google that phrase and find out for yourself. But the fact of the matter is that when you follow Jesus, it doesn't guarantee you a life without hardship. You know, people ask the question, why do good things happen to bad people? And the fact of the matter is, Jesus himself said, there are none good. Scripture tells us in Romans that all of us have gone away. And you see, it's going to take deliberation because you have to understand what you're giving up. When you say, yes, I want to follow Christ, you had better have thought it through and counted the cost, because it means you can no longer be, act, say, do certain things. A good resolution, well understood, should bring us confidence in acceptance, which is the third thing I want to talk to you about. So Ittai, the Gittite, has a good resolution. He thinks, he knows who he's following, the king. Go ahead and go to the next slide there. Keep going, that's fine. So he has a good resolution. David has caused him to think it through. And after that, he has no fear of acceptance. Beloved, do you hear that this morning? If you're anything like me, perhaps there are things in your life that you think to yourself, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way Jesus could accept me. There's no way God could forgive me. I've done too much. I've gone too far. It's been too long. It's too dark. It's too deep. There's too much. Is that you this morning? Is that someone you know in your life? If it is, share this message with them. Because it is a good resolution to follow the King. We must think about it and count the cost. But also, once we do, we need not fear acceptance. For there will be a gracious acceptance from the King. 2 Samuel 15, 25 through 26. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and let me see both it and his dwelling place. But if he says, I have no pleasure in you, behold, here I am. Let him do what seems good to me. The fact is, the king himself did the same with God. He wasn't going to use the ark as a talisman for success. He wasn't going to take the ark with him as if he deserved it. Instead, he would say, let the chips fall where they may. If God wants me, he will have me. Verse 32 of 15. Well, David was coming to the summit. Now listen, they are walking out of the city. And by the way, he is weeping on the path to the Mount of Olives. Remember, we talked about this last week. This is a inverse of the story. David is riding a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, weeping over Israel, saying, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers his chicks. And now David is weeping, walking out of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, being rejected as the king over Israel. Sounds familiar. But both of these stories show us that when we have this resolution, when we have thought it through, we have no need of the fear of acceptance from our king. And as David is walking out of the city where God was worshipped, behold, God sends him a man to let him know that God has heard. Behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat torn and dirt on his head, and then David would send this man back to be a spy on his behalf inside this broken kingdom. 2 Samuel 18, verse 2. This is the other time where Ittai is mentioned. David not only accepts him, but he puts him over command of his army, over one-third of his army. And he says that he himself will go out with his army. Matthew chapter 9, 10 through 13. I want to focus on 11 and 12 with you. But in the context, it says, and as Jesus reclined at the table in his house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Luke 19:10 says, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Ittai, the Gittai, in 15:21 says, as the Lord lives, and as my Lord the King lives, wherever my Lord the King shall be, whether for death or life, there also will your servant be. And the fact of the matter is, we can say the same thing to Jesus, because whether on this earth or outside of it, because being absent from the body is being present with the Lord. Amen. Yeah, that was your time at home to say amen, right? Ittai followed the king out of conviction, not just condition. So the question is, do you? And so it is a good resolution that requires great deliberation. And we are guaranteed gracious acceptance. Now, I want to point to you that this is a human king, a sinful human king. David, the great king of Israel, who is touted throughout all of the Old Testament, who is held up as not the paramount picture, but rather a fallen shadow of that which is to come, which is Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so if Ittai, the Gittite, has a good resolution with great deliberation, with guaranteed gracious acceptance of a human king, how much more, beloved, do we have the same of the glorious king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? I want to read with you Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom during this very time. This psalm David wrote, and this is what he says, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." See, he's even now reflecting on how he was walking up to the Mount of Olives, feeling down, feeling abandoned, feeling ashamed, leaving the city with the tail tucked between his legs, and gets an answer from his king. As Jesus said, why did David say, "The Lord said to my Lord"? Because even David knew the glorious king was yet to come. He says, "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be on your people." See, we can have the same conviction as Ittai because we have a better king. We can have the same conviction as David because we have a better king. And so if you follow out of condition or conviction, if it's conditional, then I fear for your soul. Because the fact of the very matter is the condition of our nation, the condition of the churches, the condition of the world in which we live in looks as if the enemy is not only winning, but having parties in his own honor. And yet, in Revelation 19, 13 through 16, it tells us about our king. It says he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepresses of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ittai followed his king out of conviction, not just condition. How much better should the condition of our conviction be? While Absalom puts his hope in chariots and champions, while the people of this world become pawns, while he used worship as warfare, this fallen king of Israel would give glory to God, have compassion on his comrades, and humbly serve his household. And that was the kingdom of man. And we are part of the kingdom of God. Brother or sister in Christ, I hope that you are encouraged this morning that your conviction is beyond condition. And even now as we watch, separated by maybe even miles, the condition of his church has not changed, because the conviction of our hearts are rooted in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that condition does not change who you are, that you are not as man who should change his mind, that you are Alpha and Omega, that you are beginning and end, that it does not matter how bad the world gets, that you are sovereign over all things, that you have told us in your word that you are victorious. And so I would pray that our condition of our faith would be of better conviction than even Ittai the Gittite. We pray that your church would be built on conviction and not condition. And we ask this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen. Now, I do not have any closing songs, but I thank you for joining us digitally today. We will continue to keep you updated with service updates either on Facebook or our website or through text or emails. We'll try our best to get that information to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.
He's the King of the Jews. He's a-